Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is burglary of the first order, and you're going to say, oh, stop it, it's just tomatoes. Okay, but it is
slippery slope.
Really? Now, there are people who walk through that alley, and they could keep their eye on the tomatoes. There's people, and I am forced to conclude these are my neighbors of some form. Someone, neighbors of some form have picked these. What do I do about this?
You know, you obviously first, go to door-to-door confronting them.
I'm looking for green tomatoes.
You walk door-to-door, you knock on the door with your gun.
I don't have a gun.
What?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Let me stress one more time that we're open for breakfast at Chatter. The word doesn't seem to have gotten out, because we have a very small crowd today. We want to build this up. It is raining. We want to build this up over the next week or so. We're at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, right inside the line that demarks Maryland, which we're not in, from the District of Columbia, which we are in. And yes, we're open for breakfast, okay?
A great breakfast, by the way.
Yeah. Is there an omelet on the menu now?
I don't know. I haven't seen the menu. But we're open for breakfast. We have Tori Clark. We have David Aldridge. We have Michael Kornheiser. And we have Nigel running the board later in the show. Howard Fineman is going to drop by. I wanted to, before we get into what David did on vacation, what Tori did on vacation, because that's what we're doing this week, is reviewing vacations. I want to say to Tony Seminara in Huntingtown, Maryland. Tony Seminara, I'm sure, is a wonderful guy who writes and sends a letter to Chatter, attention Tony Kornheiser, and then tapes every inch of the back of the envelope so that you can't open it.
That's difficult.
You can't open it. Why do you do that? I don't want to rip.
What are you talking about?
He's just protecting examine the message.
I see. There's tape on it.
It's tape. So, I can't. So you open it.
Oh,
you open it because I didn't want to break everything.
Baby.
We have a wedding announcement. Allison Gillespie and Caleb Robert Schoenhard, they are getting married on the 7th of October. That is next month.
We actually might be able to get that.
It's going
one.
To be at the Decatur House in Washington.
Oh, nice.
So
oh.
Is that nice?
Lovely.
So
I bet,
we wish
I bet
them,
they can't serve red wine there.
We wish that. Why?
It's a really, I think, a really horrific thing. A lot of facilities do now. When they have parties and weddings and things like that, they don't let you serve red wine because if it spills, it's harder to clean up. If you have
are you serious?
Yeah.
So you can only, well.
Yeah,
you
so
can
I would never go to an event or hold an event in a place where they wouldn't serve red wine.
That's odd.
Yeah, it's
that's
been going
very
on
odd.
For years.
Why don't you change the color of the carpet so that
exactly.
that doesn't happen? Now, David has opened it.
He sent you a coupon.
This is really nice.
Oh, look at that.
Mr. Tony, hope you can use this coupon. It's good until October 31st. My wife and I could not find any good deals. Congrats on now being a granddad and a doctor. P.S. Love the podcast. It's from Tony Seminar, so this makes me happy. This is taking extra 10% off something at a Bass Outlet.
Oh,
now, I go to a Bass Outlet and
he's
I buy
smiling.
Shoes. That's what I do.
Big
I buy the same pair
you're
of shoes.
You're ripping the guy for being careful for putting tape on the
you
envelope.
You know what? I apologize to Tony Seminar, and now I'm very happy. He has pleased me. There's one more letter.
Baby
this
a new
comes
pair of shoes.
From something I didn't know existed, the Rehoboth Beach Film Society. And it says, Dear Mr. Kornheiser, on behalf of the Rehoboth Beach Film Society, we're inviting you to attend and serve as our guest host at the closing brunch celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Rehoboth Beach Independent Film Festival at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday, November 12th. So now I'm already on the road at that point.
It's a little
late. In the new Dogfish Brewing and Eats restaurant located in downtown Rehoboth Beach on Rehoboth Avenue.
Where that is.
We'll be celebrating the noteworthy 20-year achievement, announcing the Audience Award film winners, and engaging in some fun film competition. It's the oldest and largest event of its kind in Delaware. It's a fall destination. That's why I wouldn't go because the roads would be too crowded. Anyway, it operates its own theater, the Cinema Art Theater, at 17701 Dartmouth Lane in Lewis. That's how you know you're not from there when you say Lewis. Behind the Wawa, just off Route 1. And I know where the Wawa is on Route 1. We were looking for an entertaining host for the brunch with ties to our community. One of our members immediately suggested you. She tells us if we call you Mr. Tony, drop a few references to Orange, tell you that there will be at least one little there, and suggest the possibility of a shout-out for La Cheeserie, there might be a better chance that you will accept, so consider it done. We understand your daughter Elizabeth is an accomplished and popular member of our local food community. We'd like to extend an invitation for her to attend as well. Now, this is very, very nice. I'm not actually going to do it because it comes Sunday morning and I go home Sunday morning. But maybe Elizabeth would like to go in my place and
a great
give
idea.
A little talk. So,
that's a great idea.
So I will pass this along to Elizabeth. So that's good. So now let us get to the part of the show that we begin when we resume the show, which is what I did on my summer vacation. Tori, we will start with you. Have you been to any special places in the last few weeks?
Michigan, Syracuse, right?
Syracuse,
yeah.
A special place
special
to Jim
place.
Boeheim.
Up I don't on the know hill. Them.
Right.
Up on the hill. Wow. By the way, I got to check out the athletic facilities last week.
Fantastic.
So we were dropping kids off at school, one at Michigan, one at Syracuse. The one at Michigan, I was telling Michael, for some reason needed to be back at school 10 days before classes started.
Something's going on.
What do you think that's about?
Something's going on.
Yeah, something's going on.
Getting ready for the school year,
fraternity
Mom.
Life.
Yeah, yeah.
But Devin, our daughter at Syracuse, is living in what they call South Campus of Syracuse, and it's very far away, and it's quite nice.
You need a horse to get to your classes,
you need
probably,
a horse.
Which
she
qualifies
she
her.
Needs a vehicle with 300 horsepower,
okay.
Which isn't happening yet.
Right.
Actually, we could raise that as an issue on the show. Anyways, its facilities are largely built for the athletes, and it's out near the athletic facilities. And so I just kind of wandered around the other day. They're really nice.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure if you're a big-time football player, basketball player, you might rather be in Miami or Southern California.
I don't know.
But you
I don't
walk
know.
Through those facilities
That's
and
it's
going to
be nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the ways, I certainly in the case of Jim Boeheim, who has been there for a million years and who's born and raised in that area and loves Syracuse above all cities, and we'll tell you this, he has been able to recruit nationally by selling kids on the fact that this is it right here in this Carrier Dome. 30,000 people come to see you all the time. You're a god around here.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what? So it's cold. So big deal. You don't have to go outside. We're playing indoors
and
this
year. And
you
don't want to go outside with those facilities.
Right.
So Syracuse, Michigan. You know, I did Australia earlier in the summer.
Right. We know about that.
Yeah. But my big vacation was I've retired.
Really?
My husband wants to refer to it as a sabbatical because he claims I'm going to go back to work someday. But, yeah, retired.
Does this mean in – because you're very young
to retire.
Means
I'm going to come here every morning for
breakfast.
Well,
I'm just going to say. Like,
it's really sad.
Are you going to start knitting and raising organic tomatoes? What are you going to do?
I'm contemplating other opportunities. I'm
looking so you're not really retired because you're looking for work.
Yeah. Well, to find work. I want to do a food truck for dogs. I want to do, just think of it.
Hold on that. A food truck for dogs.
Think how popular food
how do
trucks
they order?
Are, right?
Do they get up on their hind legs?
How do they order? Yeah. Give me number one.
Most of the dogs I know are smarter than most of the people I know. So.
Right? Right. It is better than number two.
Food trucks are very, very popular things. People like their dogs better than they like their children.
Yes.
They spend enormous sums of money on them.
That's
so food trucks for dogs. Medical marijuana.
Okay. You want to use it or grow it?
Both.
Okay.
Both. And that's about it so far.
Okay, that's good.
That's what I'm contemplating so far.
That's it. That's good.
That's my summer vacation.
David?
I didn't retire. I have nothing to compare to that.
Did you go anywhere? Did you get any?
I went to Rehoboth Beach, speaking of Rehoboth.
Okay.
Did the week in Rehoboth with the unit.
Right.
It was awesome. It was great.
Where'd you stay?
We could rent a house. Very close to your house.
You could have used my house.
I could have walked over to your house.
You could have said, I'm going there.
Can
I have your house? I would have said, sure.
No. It's okay. I never know who's in your house at any one particular time in the summer. So
right.
Never
weird
impose.
Folk singer could be.
Exactly. Exactly. Just showing up at midnight. So, no, we did the week, and it was great. It was great. As it always is in Rehoboth. We love it.
Do you eat at any places you particularly want to recommend to anybody?
Well, there's a lot of new places, as you know.
Yeah, every year, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of new places, so I can't really remember them. Some of them were very good. The last night we went to a place that was very good, and I wish I could remember the name of it. Black something or other? Anyway, it was very good. It's a great time. I love going there. And it was...
Are you a beach person?
I bought
a house and then found out I don't like the sand. I probably should have done some research. I do like walking on the boardwalk. I do like that. But I'm not an ocean or sand. I'm not.
I like the boardwalk.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like the beach. It's okay to do once or twice.
Yeah.
It's not something
where
I
laughing?
Wake
You're
up.
Laughing.
Just laughing. Because you pay premium prices for my house at the beach. And then, I don't want to put my feet in the sand.
Yeah, I'm not a sand guy.
No. It's hot. The sand's so hot.
And you're just sort of stuck there. And
the sun might be out and there might be other people there. Oh,
lots of people. Too many people.
Lots of people.
There's far too many people.
Lots of people. But I would imagine it's a very nice place once the tourists are gone.
Lovely. September and October are beautiful beyond words. But still, you either like the sand or you don't. I just found out I'm not a sand person.
I'm not one of the sand people.
I'm not one of the sand people. Today, I read that today is National Coffee Ice Cream Day. I read that in the food section of the Washington Post. Now, as people may know, that my favorite ice cream is coffee ice cream, and I rate all the coffee ice creams. And I used to think that Grater's was the best, and then Grater's went very sort of national and changed, you know, changed the recipe. And so now I'm content with Häagen-Dazs coffee. I mean, I'm okay with that. I don't think it's the world's greatest, but it's available, and I think it's okay. Tori, what is your favorite ice cream?
Rainbow.
What is that?
It's a rainbow
ice cream. Rainbow ice cream.
It's a sign of my life, right? I have a hard time making decisions, so I don't want this flavor or that flavor. Rainbow has all the flavors in it.
Who makes rainbow ice cream?
Not too many anymore. It was Isley's when I was a kid growing up, and I don't eat much ice cream now.
So
when I was a kid, I could not decide between all the different flavors, so I would make rainbow.
Do you know what my cousin Marilyn did? This is the most disgusting thing. Well, we'll get to it in a second. David, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Tony, I don't eat ice cream.
So at
that's
all.
That's right. Lactose intolerant.
Yeah, so it's been so long since I've had ice cream. I wouldn't be good. I used to like chocolate, I guess.
My second favorite flavor now is chocolate chip by Häagen-Dazs. I've got that in the house. Michael, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
I don't eat ice cream.
So do I have three people here who basically you don't eat ice cream or
I'll have French fries? I'll have a bite of Liz's ice cream, but usually it's, you know, some cookie crisp or one of those.
I don't like those. Nigel, what is yours? Mutton?
Bangers and mash.
Lamb particularly is very lovely. Yeah. I mean, if it's in season, it's great. No, you're going to hate the flavor I love.
What?
Banana ice cream.
Yes, I hate banana
ice cream.
Yeah,
I love that. You can't get it anywhere.
Let me get
to
my cousin Marilyn. My cousin Marilyn, there was, and I don't think these places are all that popular anymore, but I don't know, and if I'm insulting people around the country, I really apologize. They don't seem to be popular where I live, which are the Baskin-Robbins ice cream outlets.
I think they're still popular.
My cousin Marilyn would go and get five different kinds of ice cream, put in the same container,
just mashed it down.
Ooh. It was disgusting, just the worst. And she used to say, "What do you want?" And I go, "I don't want that or anything in that. I just don't. I can't tolerate that." But that sounds sort of like what you do if you like rainbow ice cream.
Maybe it was just made by Isley's, which was a Pittsburgh thing. But it would be pink and green and blue and white. It was lovely.
I'm with people who don't like any of the ice creams I like and don't like ice creams at all. So I picked the wrong day to celebrate National Coffee Ice Cream Day.
Coffee ice cream is one of the greatest flavors of ice cream you'll ever have.
Yeah. I don't like that brand, not that I eat ice cream, obviously, but Turkey Hill ice cream. Turkey Hill makes me think of feathers.
Yes, it's a tough name. It's a tough name to go
by. Ice cream.
Yes, I agree with that. And I'm not a fan of Breyers. Other people love Breyers and swear by Breyers. I'm not the world's... Breyers is very light. I like heavy, thick ice cream that kills you.
You're not a fan of Ben & Jerry's because they put a lot of stuff in
there. Too much stuff.
Yeah.
Too much stuff. Why don't you make a plain one-flavor thing for old people? because that works for me. So a couple of... I think we should talk about... Well, we should talk about Irma. Yeah. Irma is... measured across as the size of Ohio.
Yeah.
It is a Category 5 hurricane right now. Al Roker is going, his head is leaving his body as he talks about this in the morning. It is, apparently most of the models have it bearing down on Florida.
South Florida, yeah.
But it could end up turning a little bit right and up and end up in the Carolinas or in Delaware.
Yeah, that
would be bad.
Might not be any sand.
That would be very, very bad. In the 19971, that would be bad. Florida, not so bad.
No, it's bad.
This is real. What do you...
Did anybody think it was a mistake for Matt Lauer and Al Roker not to come back during Harvey? They were both, and I heard later Al Roker was taking his daughter to France because she's going to school there.
Okay.
But I thought, this is one of the biggest things that's happened, news, flat out news, and it was an extended period of time. I thought they both should have come back.
When you look at it's very easy to sort of forget about Harvey in the wake of Irma.
Yeah.
But when they show you, when they go like street to street and everybody's belongings are out in the street.
Yeah.
On the street because you can't
use them. Everything in their house, not just their clothes,
all the furniture, all the bedding, everything. Yeah. It's it's done.
Yeah.
And if I've read correctly about this, a lot of people are saying the flaw in that is the way Houston has been designed with sort of no regard. Considering it's on the water.
It's on the water, so it's very difficult, you know.
Can people not get flood insurance if they live near the water?
Don't know, because it's going to be flooded and nobody wants to pay. Phew. That would seem to me. Okay. Here's where you might not need flood insurance, on top of a mountain in Colorado.
There you go.
You know, but if you lived on the coast, flood insurance would seem to me to be made available
to you. It's a little stormy out right now. Does Chatter have good flood insurance?
I don't think we're on a floodplain here on Wisconsin and Jennifer.
But it's kind of below ground.
Yeah, a lot of urban development around here taking away the natural grasses that will take that water away.
Yeah.
Someone did some nice landscaping out front, by the way. That'll take
that
some of the water.
You bought in there.
I might have considered a lot of things. Justin Verlander went 6 innings last night. He gave up one run for Houston. He got the win. He went 103 pitches. He admits that he was very nervous. Justin Verlander, there's 3 people you look for, okay, because this is what happened. Yu Darvish went to the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Sonny Gray went to the Yankees. Justin Verlander went to Houston. Who made the best deal? What do you think?
Well, I think Darvish is the best pitcher right now of those 3 pitchers.
Verlander's last 8 starts are?
I understand he's been very good lately.
6-2 and 2.35 ERA.
Very good lately, but I think Darvish is a better pitcher right now.
So you think the Dodgers?
Ask me who made the best deal. I just told you.
Torrey?
No clue.
Michael?
Nats bringing back Edwin Jackson.
Yeah.
E-Jax. From where?
From about Baltimore. 15 from teams.
Yeah.
He's played everywhere.
Baltimore cut him. DFA.
He loses, but he pitches pretty well.
Well, he doesn't lose. He's 5-3, I think, since he got here.
We always... Don't most of his games you have a sense that he's down 4-2 by the fourth?
Now that's A.J. Cole.
No, right. Yeah, you're thinking
A.J. Cole's got to lose that.
He's actually pitched very well. He's pitching deep into the games, I think, most of his starts. So he's given him a chance to win.
I think Verlander is a very big pickup.
He's a very good pitcher.
Think Verlander is the last guy to win the MVP as well as the Cy Young.
His girlfriend.
Right. Hot. Ooh. Yes, hot. And they're looking for homes.
She is stop what you're doing hot.
Yeah.
That's not me. I don't normally do that. But she, wow.
You know the great tweet, which we cannot say on the air. The great tweet from last year when Verlander did not win the Cy Young. Yes. It's just a fantastic Kate Upton tweet. All right, I'm done. I would talk about the U.S. Open, but we'll do that in news. We'll do that later in the show. So we will take a break, and when we come back, Howard Fineman of the HuffPost will join us and tell us the state of the country. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated. There's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. And there's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. And SeatGeek will get you close to the action for a great value. We should run the Saliza comments from yesterday because he used it.
Yes.
And it worked great for him.
Yes.
And so just insert Saliza comments here, take small break, and I go, SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, listeners to this high-quality pod, I'm abbreviating it because that's what the kids do, listeners to this high-quality pod get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and you enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony, T-O-N-Y, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's good when you wear a headset and the guitar comes through the right ear and the other stuff comes through the left ear and you play with the thing until you hear the guitar and then you balance out your own head. This is a group called Loben, L-O-B-E-N, I believe. They are from Ohio.
This is
a song called Wit's End. We like all these songs, all of them. They're here to introduce Howard Fineman, who has dropped by in person on his way to work as the intergalactic editor of the HuffPost, not the Huffington Post.
Yes, no.
As we short everything.
No, ing.
Right, we shorten podcast to pod. Right, everything gets shortened in America, including me. My son told me the other day, what are you about, 5'9 and a half now? Seriously, 5'9 and a half, 5'10? I was 6 feet tall when he was born. I'm now 5'9 and a half, he said.
Wow.
That was Bootsy the baby will be bigger than me soon.
Well, eventually, Tony, we'll all be sort of sitting on the desk instead of in a chair here.
I'm going to. I went from 34-inch inseam to 32. Now, it's, according to my kid, it ought to be 30. I'm shrinking away. I'm becoming like my own dad, who I believe I described once as being able to fit in the overhead on an airplane as he got older and older and older. And so Howard is here, and this gives us an opportunity to talk about the current president of the United States of America and the issues facing him and all of us. There are three things which stand out that we want comment on, and this will be the order. Okay. On the Dreamers, on North Korea, and on these hurricanes, you know, Harvey and then Irma, and because there's a response that's necessary from the White House, because we've seen that with Katrina, where it didn't work at all. So we'll get to all of those things. Let's start with the Dreamers, the response by Barack Obama, and what is Donald Trump doing, and is there something he's attempting to do that goes beyond what he's doing?
Well, to ask whether there's a game plan with Donald Trump begs a question to begin with. And I think the answer to that is no. I mean, he's a minute-by-minute guy facing pressures of the moment and dealing with them of the moment as he did in business and he's doing now. He's got two irreconcilable forces within the Republican Party, of which he is nominally, very nominally, the head. One of them is the business community and everybody who deals in markets and marketplaces in America, realizing that the Hispanic vote, that Hispanic consumers, that Hispanic citizens, that Hispanic culture are all extremely important to the United States, and immigration generally is very important to the United States.
Builds the country.
It builds the country. We all have participated in it, all of our families going back to the very beginning have participated in it. And corporate America understands that, and they're marketing to it. They're marketing the concept itself. But Donald Trump's core supporters, and I know this from having attended so many Trump rallies, if there was one consistent thing that the people who showed it up at Trump rallies cared about, it was closing the borders to immigrants. It was an anti-immigrant thing above all, in my view. That was the number one consistent emotion. So he's trying to balance those things, and it's an exquisite conflict when you're dealing with the Dreamers, exquisitely difficult, because there are 800,000 of them. They came here when they were children of their own accord. They didn't know. Most of them were, you know, 2, 3, 4 years.
They woke up here one day.
They woke up here, and all the statistics show, and maybe because of the circumstances of their arrival here, they have higher rates of going to college. They're doing well academically. They're model Americans. They're the kinds of immigrants we desperately want, except for the inconvenient fact that they're technically and actually not here legally. So what do you do? Congress tried for years, and I've been covering this stuff for a long, long time. I go all the way back to earlier efforts at immigration reform in the 80s. The Tory and I remember.
I was two.
Yeah, well, all right, you're a child.
Exactly. She was a baby diplomat.
She was brought here, you know, not of her own volition at the age of two.
That is so true.
And that they can't solve the problem because it's a fundamental conflict in American life. We need the immigrants at all times, but everybody who's here already, generally their first reaction is, okay, nobody else can come, we're already here. So that's why Congress has a hard time dealing with it. They had a hard time before, they have a hard time now. They tried in the Trump, during the Obama presidency, they couldn't do it. So Obama said, okay, I'm going to sign an executive order saying that these kids, named the Dreamers now, can stay with work permits renewable every 2 years, they can get benefits and so on, and he sort of kicked the can down the road. And Trump campaigned the entire time during 2016, saying the first thing I'm going to do is get rid of the dream, get rid of that executive order, because not only did his base not like the deal, they hated the fact that Barack Obama did it. And keep in mind, with Donald Trump, he's trying to do everything to reverse any executive order or anything that Trump did. And so
anything
Congress
that,
he's
that
kicked
Obama
it that Obama did. Trump has kicked it over to Congress.
Right.
Congress probably won't be able to do anything. Trump undercut his own negotiating position. This is the guy who's supposedly the master of the art of the deal. He said, okay, Congress, you've got 6 months to do it. And if you don't do it, I'll reconsider. What does that mean? So,
well, that's what I've sort of
that means they're going to kick it back to him.
Right. So he has gone on record as saying, you've seen all of these clips, saying my heart is heavy on this one because I really don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Is this savvy politically? Is it? What is it? If he doesn't want to do it, don't do it.
Well, he's trying to have it both ways. What he did was he himself did not make the announcement.
Right.
You know, when it's something he really cares about being out front on, he's out front. There's nobody more out front in the world than Donald Trump.
That's right.
In this case, he sent Sessions out to speak to the base, to speak for the base. This is something that Sessions himself has been obsessed with for 30 years. That's why Sessions was the first senator to sign on with Donald Trump when Donald Trump ran for president. He sent Sessions out to do it. They'll kick it to Congress. Congress won't be able to agree on anything. Then Trump will be right back where he was 6 months ago, and he'll assess, once again, he'll assess the situation politically at that time.
I don't want to go forever on this, but, I did see this morning on the Today Show that the White House seemed to be making it clear we're not going to target these people. We're not actually going to go after them and deport them from the country. Then what are you doing? I mean, what is it?
Well, it's at least a temporary play by the Sessions wing of the Trump brain,
right,
to the base that got Trump elected. It's a promise that he made during the campaign that he was under pressure to respond to, in part because 7 or 8 states were going to file suit against him and against the administration for not getting rid of it. And he didn't want the political effect of that, of having states, including, I believe, Texas, sue him. So that's why he's one step ahead of the lawsuit.
Tori, you have your
hand
up.
Can I ask a question of Howard?
Yes.
Is there any reason to be slightly optimistic that maybe Congress can get something done? I say that because I think in general, Trump's unique approach, shall we say, is causing Congress to go, oh boy, maybe we better really step up and fly right here and find ways to work together on things. Might they fill the vacuum where they wouldn't before?
I think it's no.
There we go. Great way to kick off
short,
the fall.
No,
okay.
No, Congress is an unholy mess. Tony, my big global theory on all this is, but when I was a kid, when you and I were kids, it seemed like society was falling apart. You know, you had war in the streets. You had it felt in the 60s like the country was coming apart at the seams. That society itself, the political system, actually was more stable at that point. It was post World War II. Mm-hmm. We had an agreed upon set of rules. The political system was able to withstand the tremors in the country. Now the situation, in my view, is pretty much the opposite. I think the tumult in the country is exaggerated to some extent. If you travel the country, there's lots of great things happening, as even Donald Trump would say. It's the political system that is completely broken, completely broken. They can't deal with immigration, which is hard to deal with. They can't deal with simple things. Congress does not work. The political system is ruined.
Well, that's okay. That's an interesting way for me to get to North Korea, because that's not about the political system.
No.
That's about the executive and the decisions that an executive makes.
Right.
It seems to me we all should be terrified at the moment of Irma, because that's real and that's the size of Ohio and that's heading this way.
Right.
Should we be indeed terrified of North Korea? When you have the ambassador to the United Nations saying that the North Korean leader is begging for war, should that make you terrified?
I think so. And I think, once again, this is a problem that's been festering for years. You have to understand briefly the history. We bombed North Korea into oblivion in the 50s.
Right.
So the North Koreans like bombs because they want to get back at the world for what happened to them in the 50s. That's number one. Number two, American presidents going back eons have, to use the phrase again, kicked the can down the road here, assuming that the North Koreans couldn't do what they were threatening to do. I've talked to a lot of people in the intelligence and defense community about this. It's easy to think that the Russians or the Chinese or somebody just gave the North Koreans all this stuff, or IQ Khan from Pakistan. The North Koreans are pretty smart, and they're determined, and they want to do this not just for the bomb, but because their long-range goal is to take the Korean Peninsula back, in their view, take it back. And that means South Korea unification on their terms. Yeah, it's a huge concern that could easily get out of control. And while it's all too easy to criticize Donald Trump for his manic tweets and crazy tweets, they're dangerous at this point. The possibility of miscalculation with Kim Jong-un, who's nuts,
yeah,
but determined is very real. It's very scary. Would you want to be living in Seoul, South Korea right now? I certainly wouldn't want to be.
I don't know that I'd want to be living in Guam if the guy just says,
yes,
we're going to drop one on Guam. Hey, hey, you Guam people, look up. I mean, you know, so you could you see first strike by the United States of America?
It's not. I mean, I agree with the people who say that that's unrealistic because okay. No matter how quickly you strike, you probably can't prevent the North Koreans from lobbing, if not nuclear missiles, at least untold number of conventional weapons on Seoul,
ICBMs,
which is a block away.
Yeah, it's like from here to Gaithersburg. And there are 20 million people, whatever. It's one of the largest metropolitan areas in the world, and it would be obliterated by the North Koreans.
Does Trump give you comfort, the fact that he's in the White House for this? Well, are all presidents same in this?
No, I think they're all facing the same problem, and they all reacted by doing essentially nothing.
Nothing.
Been true for the last 15 years.
They yell and scream.
Yep.
But now these guys have thermonuclear devices.
Well, I think their technical expertise has shocked everybody else.
Right.
But why should it? I mean, the South Koreans are leading technological peoples of the planet. Why wouldn't the North Koreans be?
Okay. Well, only because of this. Only because still at night, if you look at the picture of North Korea, there are no lights.
Yeah.
Whatever electricity they have is going towards enriching uranium.
Yeah. That's a political decision.
All right, I said this at the beginning. You had Hurricane Harvey, and you had a response from the White House. You have Hurricane Irma. These are serious things if you're the president of the United States of America. How's he done with Harvey? What do you expect with Irma?
Well, we don't know yet on Harvey. You know, he eventually went and made a second trip, and he did the things that we all require a president to do in terms of demonstrating his concern. But the key thing is execution, namely FEMA and other aid programs. The problem that Trump has, the problem that this regime, to call it that, has, is that they're, in most cases, they're dedicatedly anti-government, anti-federal government. They're against the idea that the federal government is supposed to do stuff. And in terms of the social safety net, to use that
except when you
pludgy
need it.
Term.
except when you're underwater.
Except right. when you need it. So it kind of runs against the grain of the philosophy there, number one. And number two, Trump hasn't fully staffed or proposed the staff of the administration. I don't think he cares about administrative details particularly. No. You know, I could imagine him going down there and saying, as the to give a plug to the show I advise, the President Show, which has a guy playing Trump, you know, everything is going to be fine. We're going to fix this in 2 or 3 days. It's not going to be 2 or 3 days.
No.
It's consistent, long-term application of effort. And now in an era of global warming where most scientists believe there is at least a tangential connection between warming of the oceans, rising of the sea level, and massive hurricanes, a key role of government.
And he denies that.
Well,
he's not a climate change guy.
No, he's not. And he's not appointing people who believe in climate change. So, but the point is that the government is going to have to play a huge role in all this, and he's going to have to acknowledge that this is what we do. This is now what we're going to have to do. Whether it's Harvey or Irma or
whatever, James whatever, would be
whatever.
H-I-J.
Harvey and Irma, it's like a 1950s sitcom.
It is. Yeah. All right. Howard, go to work. That
okay.
was great.
All right.
Howard Feynman, boys and girls.
Yay.
We will come
great
back
to see
with
you,
news.
Tori and
Sneaky
David.
Smart.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, this is the ZipRecruiter ad, and it asked me to say, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? I am not hiring.
No.
Chatter is always hiring.
Chatter.
Do I know where to post the bit? No, I don't know. I don't know how to do any of those things, which is why I would go to ZipRecruiter, and they write, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. What was that noise?
I think it was my computer playing.
Let's try this again.
Somebody wants a job.
With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else, and that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. There's no juggling emails or calls to your office. You simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. You've lost me on that, but I'm just here to read. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners, if you have jobs to post, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sun's going down behind my back.
Great if I had a microphone
on.
There you go. This is Cousin Eddie. It's a band from Girard, Kansas. I'm unfamiliar with Girard, Kansas. The tune is called 700 Miles, and we turn to Michael. And Michael, tell the people if they want their music played, how they go about doing it.
They can send it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And do we have gear?
We do have gear. We still have chatter gear. You know, we still have some chatter t-shirts. I think those are on pre-sale and they are ready to ship in about a week from now.
Good.
So buy those up, and we're actually going to try and find a way to get those in stock here.
Like to do
so
that.
So when the breakfast crowd grows a little bit in the coming days.
It will. You can buy. We have two people here today, and they're getting special treatment.
There
but,
you
know, but
we'll, we're going to... something extra in the sugar.
We'll get up to 10, we'll get up to 20, we'll get up to 50 at some point. I'm confident of that. Nigel, you have news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony, and I will start off with... we had talked earlier, I think, in the opening segment of the show, whether Justin Verlander was the last pitcher to win the MVP. In fact, he wasn't. It was Clayton Kershaw in 2014.
Well, these are great pitchers.
Yes.
These are great pitchers. They're both going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes. Yeah, I would think that they're on that. They're definitely on that path. Yep. Yes, you'd also mentioned the U.S. Open. We'll talk about on the women's side of it. Some great matches last night. Two Americans advancing. Venus Williams in three sets over Petra Kvitova.
I thought Kvitova was going to win midway through the third set, and then
was she up? I did not get a chance to watch this.
Yeah, yeah.
So she.
I thought she was up one. Well, she just
looked
ran out of gas.
Bigger. She's stronger. She just looked like she had it all together. And then I was going back and forth between that and the Nats.
Yes,
and
me too.
Thought, okay, this is over. So I went to the Nats, and then I thought, I'll just go back to see great Venus. By the way, one of the most gracious athletes out there, and I wanted to go back to see her say something gracious, and she was still fighting and winning.
Venus Williams is 37 years old.
38. I looked it up last night.
She's 38?
I thought she was. Oh, I thought she was 37. She's way too old to be in the semifinals and maybe the finals, as she was earlier this year.
Wimbledon?
Of a major. She's way too old for that. And I understand her sister isn't there, and if her sister was there, she wouldn't be, because Serena's
not
the best.
Yeah.
And if Sharapova had been playing for a while, maybe she wouldn't. But she's there. She's there. It's on the same level as Federer.
Mm-hmm.
They're too old to do this.
Right.
They're too old. And there's a possibility of four American women in the semifinals. Because Sloane Stephens won yesterday.
That's right.
If Madison Keys and Coco Vandeweghe win today, that hasn't happened and I have no idea when. I have no idea when. No American men get anywhere. They're done. They're out.
In fact, that's the last American. Sam Querrey fell last night to Kevin Anderson. And
AD at Maryland. It substitutes as AD.
Yes. And Jason Schwartzman out as well.
Yes,
who goes by the name
Rushmore.
Diego. Yes.
Yeah.
He falls to Pablo Carreño.
No one cares about anything other than Federer and Nadal.
Right.
On that side.
And it's terrible that they're going to have to face each other.
That's the way it goes.
Yes. I know you wanted to talk about football, Mr. Tony. Not your American football, but what we call football throughout the world, soccer, which I believe you call here, the United States.
Well, what does it mean?
Tied with the Honduras.
In Honduras, which I think is pretty good for us.
Yes, and it trailed throughout the entire match.
It's going to make it makes George conflicted at the shack, because George is from Honduras and he's an American citizen, and I don't know if he roots for Honduras or not, but George thought that it would be very difficult for the United States to win, which they didn't do, even to tie.
They scored the tying goal in the 85th minute, so it really was coming down to it for the
what
U.S.
What does this mean for the World Cup?
All right, well, Panama won last night. They shut out Trinidad and Tobago 3-0. So now that they leapfrog the United States. The United States currently in fourth place. And
how many teams get in?
Top three, but then the fourth team has to play a playoff match
against
I think it's either Australia or Syria.
Are you serious?
Yes, wow. I believe that that's the case. Yes. Hold on.
Wait. You qualify within your own zone, yes, within your own geography, but you have to play Australia or Syria?
The fourth place country in their bracket will have to meet either Australia or Syria in a playoff for another board.
Do we have a chance to... Wait, you say Panama's ahead of us?
Panama right now is ahead of
us. Do we have a chance to play Panama?
Yes, because they host Panama and then the U.S. also. Yeah, so they control their own destiny right there. So if they beat Panama and then they beat Trinidad and Tobago, which they should because they're the worst team in the bracket.
Of course we should beat Trinidad and Tobago.
So they still control their destiny. However, they need to win both those matches.
Okay. How do these tiny places like Honduras field good teams?
Soccer's their sport.
They had
a national holiday in Honduras.
Think how hard it is for us. And the United States has a lot of money and a lot of people who play soccer, right?
But they don't play it in the same way that they play it all over the world.
The best athletes in your country don't play soccer.
Not like in other countries.
Exactly.
They don't.
Exactly. And speaking of the other football from your country, Ezekiel Elliott will be playing in week one, but his 6-game suspension has been upheld.
Okay, so... This is difficult for me. All of this makes me uneasy, so I'm not going to have a great solution. I'm glad Tori is here, and I'm glad David is here for this particular thing. Ezekiel Elliott, the law enforcement part of the state of Texas, or was it the state of Ohio? I don't know where these things occurred. Maybe Ohio. Maybe it's Ohio.
I'll say there were so many different things that happened.
Nobody felt, either they didn't feel there was enough evidence or they didn't feel they could win. I don't know. But they didn't bring charges against Ezekiel Elliott for domestic violence. They investigated and chose not to prosecute. I think I'm on safe ground saying that.
That's fair. Yes.
The NFL did its own investigation and found sufficient reason through its own investigators to suspend him for 6 games. Six games, big number. Why is it 6? It's 6 because the NFL has screwed up on so many things that they want to go bigger number all the time so that people don't say, you're only giving them 1?
Right.
So they went to a very large number.
Yeah.
It may very well be that he did everything that he is accused of, but when prosecutorial forces don't bring that to bear and don't prosecute...
Right.
I look at this as an enormous gulf between 6 games and no charges. Can you help me out with this?
Doubtful, but I'll try. it doesn't sound fair on the face of it, but you'd have to be on another planet not to understand that the NFL was moving in this direction and was going to compensate for omissions and faults in the
100%.
Past. You cannot be a professional player and not know this is going to happen. So you can say, poor me, you know, I didn't do anything as bad as those guys, but I'm getting 6 games. Well, tough, right? The environment in which you are playing has changed, and they've made it very clear they're going to take these things very seriously.
So they hold themselves, I don't want to say above the law, but certainly to the side of the law. To the side, because they're saying we have our own punishments.
But to the side sounds negative, has a negative connotation to it, right? Lots of organizations say, yes, there are legal proceedings and
then
legal
there are ours.
And then there are ours.
And we hold you to a higher standard.
Yeah.
How are you on this?
Well, the problem I have is, again, Roger Goodell being judge and jury. I mean, I think that's always the problem I have with these things, is that he has not displayed to me the ability to adjudicate these cases in a matter that is consistent with the evidence that's in place. The good thing that I like about this, though, is that this is really the first time that the NFL has taken the word of the accuser seriously.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a sea change, and that's a big deal.
Absolutely.
It's a big deal.
And by the way, what the ugliness is still to come on this.
Correct.
Because the lawyers for Ezekiel Elliott is going
to... Jeff Kessler is his lawyer, and
take this to the next level.
It's going to be hurtful.
Yeah. Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be hurtful. Yes. What else do you have?
Can we
get to that Red Sox thing, please?
Yes, the Red Sox have been accused and have admitted to stealing signs from the New York Yankees.
With an Apple Watch. Tori is wearing an Apple Watch.
Yes.
How would you steal signs on that?
I have no idea, but I got to learn.
It's unclear exactly how they were doing this. But
that's your new job.
You steal signs.
Steal signs.
The Nets could use that.
I'm going to have to go to the Genius Bar and get some help on this.
Go to baseball games and steal signs. That is awesome.
And park the food truck for dogs out in the lot.
Yeah.
By the way, do you have a name for the food truck?
Woofs on Wheels.
Woofs on Wheels.
It's fantastic.
I love this. It's love this idea.
Outstanding.
So, yes, the Red Sox have admitted this. But
and have countercharged.
And have countercharged. The Yankees were doing the same thing. And Rob Manfred has...
Did you see what Dave Dombrowski said about this?
Well, I know he said that, look, the stealing science has gone on forever, so this is just part of the game.
He has no regret whatsoever.
Right, none.
I mean, good for him. He has no regret. He stole the signs. He's been caught. This is, by the way, you know, the NFL dealt with this with the New England Patriots.
Yes.
All leagues are against stealing signs, cheating, and yet baseball, the entire history of baseball is based on cheating. I have to say that at my advanced age and loving baseball the way I do, I have no problem at all with stealing signs. I don't. I think it's in the fabric of the game, David.
It's not something that rises to outrage in me. No.
Find him $1 million and let's move on and do it again.
Isn't it the famous story that the Giants were stealing signs from the Dodgers when Bobby Thompson hit that
from
home run?
From the polo grounds. But right. I still don't – the way the speed of baseball. Now, it is not the fastest game in the world, but Michael, you tell me how – you can steal the sign and relay to the batter and why the batter should trust it at all.
So I actually don't know how you can do this.
How do you do it?
I think it's because you can send essentially a text message that will show up on your wrist, and you can come up with any sort of code that you want, whether it's just a simple number system.
So you're saying that the batter has an Apple Watch on?
I don't know if the batter, because you're not allowed to wear jewelry.
So how does it work?
So what you could be getting in the dugout, I'm receiving the signal in the dugout, and maybe you're shouting, barking something out.
Oh, yeah, what's his name was saying this last night during the broadcast? It's very easy. Once you've stolen him, it's very easy to communicate.
So you say cheese or, bread.
Fastball in.
Santangelo was saying if it's a fastball, I might raise my hand this way. If it's a curve, I'll raise my other hand or I'll point to you, or I'll, it's easy.
Aren't baseball players supposed to anticipate the stealing of signs and have checkoffs all the time to change their signs mid batter?
Yeah, I mean, when there's a runner at second base,
that's right.
His whole job is to try to
steal
the pitch.
That's right.
But I guess the difference with this is that the introduction of an electronic device is what raises it to another level, apparently in the eyes of baseball.
You know what? You know, in golf, there's stuff on the ground. There's sprinkler heads, and it says 121 to the center. But then they have these little gizmos that you use.
Right.
And the gizmos give you an accurate. And nobody, it's okay to do that in many courses, not in all courses, but it's okay to do that. Michael, would you you played baseball. Would you trust somebody saying to you it's fastball in?
I totally trust them. I mean, you're basically jumping on that pitch anyway. If you get into a certain count where you say, the numbers say he's going to give me that same pitch or he's going to go with a fastball, or even something as simple as putting sunglasses on so that you can look back to the catcher nonchalantly as he's, deliberately showing a sign.
Target in. You get that. You got to know where it is. Is it a big deal? Because I'm sure we're going to leave PGR.
I think the whole thing of stealing signs is hilarious. Of course you're trying to figure out what your opponents are doing.
And because it's Red Sox-Yankees and because that means something this year, I think that makes it sort of a
big deal. You're against them. You're trying to beat them.
Right. If you're a Red Sox fan, as I am, when Dave Dombrowski says that, you're like, okay.
I don't think it's that. I don't, me personally.
I guess, what do you think the penalty would be?
Money. Everything is money.
It won't
Magic,
be draft
Magic
picks?
Johnson tampering. Sure. Money. Sure.
Yeah, didn't that Magic said, Magic said take it out of my pocket.
Money. It doesn't mean it. You just write a check. Nobody cares. What are they going to take away?
They can't take away games.
No.
Yeah. No.
I support the all drug Olympics. Take whatever you want.
Steal whatever you want.
Just tell us what it is.
Exactly.
There you go.
So I can figure out my bet.
Well, we're going to that eventually. Yeah. We have to go to that eventually. That's all great. What else? You got anything else?
I do. There's a rubber.
Can I just say the Strasburg?
I've been waiting for you to get to Strasburg. I thought you were purposely avoiding the story.
No.
You lead with every other pitcher you can in the open.
Strasburg pitched great last night. Boz wrote a column the other day.
Through cramps. Give him credit.
I'm going to get to that in a second. Steven Strasburg, who I have called the Orchid for some time now, and Boz lit me up.
Yes, he did.
He put me
on a tee.
He
and
lit
hit you right
me
down the
up.
Middle.
Thomas Boswell, in a spirited defense of Steven Strasburg as the best pitcher in baseball.
Yes, he did.
He said, there are some in this area who have accused him of being a hothouse plant. That's me, kids. That's me. Tom Boswell stuck a firecracker in me and blew me up. No, he did. He did. And Boswell, to his credit, would say, well, he doesn't complete games, but don't worry, nobody completes games. I mean, Boswell's writing a column. He's ignoring all the things that hurt his position and lit me up. Okay, Strasburg last night went six, gave up nothing. Scattered six hits, gave up nothing, left with cramps. He pitched six full. He gets the win. His record now this year is 12-4, 2.78 ERA, has not allowed an earned run in 26 innings.
Right.
Now, the only thing I would say in defense of the orchid
position
is that he did leave with cramps, and everybody looked at him, and when you watch the broadcast, is, oh, there's something wrong with him. The trainer was perched like a parrot. Right, David? Perched like a parrot.
Up on his toes.
On the top step of the dugout to go out there and carry him off the field if he had to. So both sides are well served.
Yeah.
What a talent, and oh, I'm terrified he's not going to make it. Right?
Yeah.
So I think that, Michael, I think the debate is prolonged on this by the evidence of last night.
Yes, and it's just even better that your boy Scherzer is a little under the weather himself.
Yeah,
and that's true. But Scherzer goes out and he's under the weather himself because somebody rocks a line drive off his head.
It got a hit with a ball. I understand that.
Right. Right. Now, the one thing I'll say, and one thing that Boz did not address, is that Steven Strasburg's position on that team is made infinitely better by Max Scherzer being the lead dog.
No question.
Right? Yeah. When you're in the Iditarod, Max Scherzer is pulling that
sled. He's got
sled.
The inside position, is what I like to say.
That's right. And that makes Strasburg better. All right, Whitney. You got another quick story?
Well, I got a story about a robbery.
Thievery.
Yeah, but there's one that you wanted to talk about. There's one more important that I think relates to you.
Go ahead.
All right, this is in Waltham, Mass. For the third...
Waltham?
Yes. Isn't that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Yeah, there you
go. Henry David Thoreau country, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yes, I believe it is.
Yes.
For the third Labor Day weekend in a row, someone has stolen tomatoes. Now, you...
I have knowledges. Michael, you insist that these were animals.
I do insist that this theft was...
Well, it,
done by animals.
It may have been this woman, apparently, who goes to Waltham Fields Community Farm. Okay,
and community farm.
3 years ago, she stole 300 pounds of tomatoes.
Oh my!
Right.
Wow.
So then
how'd she get them out?
She just hauled them
out.
She
bring a Land Rover in there. What'd she do?
Just hauled them out. Then so the people running.
Nobody saw her do this.
No, they just said, well, these are missing. So then they installed surveillance cameras.
Yeah, and they got her.
And they saw, okay, she stole 150 pounds last year.
It's going down.
This year,
no, it's down.
They staked 75? Out Saturday, which had been the day that she had been running, because it shows the same woman in the same car showing up, and this time she
a
showed
Subaru?
Up. She showed
what
up
kind
on
of car?
Friday.
Just, I want to know the car.
It doesn't say what kind of car
I'm
going
to bet Subaru. I'm not taking a shot at Subaru.
Massachusetts, good chance.
I love soccer.
Subaru Outback.
Yes. She casually sifts through tomatoes.
We're better than you. We care for our children more than you. We care for the land more than you. We're driving Subarus.
Yes. Yeah. Runs on pure pretension,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
She pulls up, casually sifts through the tomatoes in the outdoor storage area, choosing the ones she wants, and carries off a crate this year of 100 pounds. Now, they had staked out the wrong day. They said they thought she was going to come on Saturday. She came on Friday, so threw them off. They weren't ready for her. So,
you got to get Jeff Bridges, who's staked out in hell or high water, because
right.
he knows pretty much when the bank's going to be
exactly.
hit.
Exactly. So, and this is what the bloke that runs the sort of farm, he says.
Is his name Ezekiel or something like that?
No, it should be. It is somebody named Roberts, Aaron Roberts. Okay. It says, I wonder what she tells people where she got all these tomatoes from of year. I'm curious what her story is. Because this is not an insignificant amount of tomatoes.
I'm curious about the morons in this community, guys.
Yeah, come
and
on.
And why didn't they not throw her happy tomato loving backside in the prison?
Well, they haven't caught her yet.
Because it's a community.
No, well, they have pictures of her.
Well, yeah, but they
3 years running.
Well, they've reported to the police.
Fool me once,
and
shame on you.
This is not on the highest thing on their priority list.
Well, it ought to be.
It should be. I agree.
Exactly.
So
I don't think she stole mine. Because she's stealing ripe tomatoes, right? These are ripe tomatoes.
I think these are ripe tomatoes.
Mine were
yes.
not ripe tomatoes.
Yes.
I don't know who's stealing
them. So there you go. We have a great burglary story that we'll share with you tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Because, you know, burglary never goes out of style.
Let's get one of those motion-sensitive cameras in your backyard.
There you go.
So we can see.
See if it...
Yes, okay. I
right,
want
I'm on
to...
That. I'm retired. I can look into that.
Yes, okay.
Those dogs that Tori wants to feed, they're coming in on their hind legs.
Right, the vegans
stealing them.
Old Guy Radio, when we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So here's the MeUndies read, and it says, you want to look good in your underwear and be comfortable, right? But that perfect balance is hard to find. Don't sacrifice style or comfort. Check out MeUndies.com and find the best pair of underwear in the world. MeUndies will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will own, made from a sustainably sourced, naturally soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. But then they're not even saying it's modal anymore. They're taking that out of play. Wow. Ultimate feel-good undies for when you want to feel naked, not be naked. For the fellas, MeUndies diamond seam pouch cradles your jewels. Are we really going to say this on the air?
Wow.
No, we're going the other way. We're not
bring back
that.
Modal.
Yeah. Oh. Ladies will... I've edited that out. Goodness and the rest gracious. Of the sentence I've edited out as well.
Thank you.
Ladies will love the soft, eco-friendly fabric, so soft and touchable. I don't know. Man. 100% satisfaction guarantee. They guarantee you'll love your undies or your money's back. Or your money is back. Right now, MeUndies has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You can get 20% off your first pair and free shipping. And MeUndies is so sure you will love their underwear, they even offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So you order a pair. If you don't love your first pair, you get a full refund. This is a no-brainer to try. 20% off, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. What are you waiting for? To get your 20% off, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee and get the best and softest underwear you will ever own, go to MeUndies, MeUndies.com/TonyK. That's MeUndies.com/TonyK. It's a limited time offer. Don't wait. Start wearing the best underwear of your life. It changed my life. They want me to say that. It didn't really change my life. I mean, you know, I wore them. They're fine.
Right.
They're nice. Michael, you've got them.
Didn't change my life. It's underpants.
It's nice. Change your underpants. It's time to let MeUndies change your life. Go to MeUndies.com/TonyK right now.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Great song.
This is While My Guitar Gently Weeps. We are playing this for a specific reason, Nigel.
That's right. On this date in 1968, Eric Clapton went into Apple Studios and recorded his now famous guitar solo, and was really one of the first guys to, you know, to play with the Beatles on one of their albums. They didn't really do a lot of that.
His relationship with George Harrison is very complicated and confusing. It has to do with they both at one point were married, not to the same woman at the same time, but George Harrison married Patty Boyd, and then Eric Clapton married Patty Boyd.
And she has had some of the greatest love songs in rock and roll history written
dedicated to her and about her. Yes. Now, I was told when I walked in today in the area of critical commentary that you, Nigel, and you, David, have heard Prince do this. I have never heard
this. I will have to show you this video. This was at the... George Harrison was elected into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame posthumously, and this was the celebration for it. So they all got up on stage. It was Tom Petty, George Harrison's son was there, Jeff Lynne was there, a bunch of, and Prince was there. And it was all these fabulous musicians, and they play this perfect rendition of While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And apparently in the rehearsal of it, this other guitarist just jumped on the lead and says, I'm going to do this. And Prince was really supposed to do it. And this kind of ticked Prince off. But he didn't really say anything. He just said, okay, we're going to do the live version later. I'm good. I've got it. So during the performance live, you don't really see Prince for most of the song. He's just off in the side. He's just playing. And then at the very end, he plays a guitar solo that would make Eric Clapton weep. Be like, this is not mine anymore.
As Paul Simon said, and he blew the room away.
It's literally some of the greatest guitar playing you'll ever see. And he just comes out of nowhere. And at the very end, throws his guitar up in the air. It never comes down. And he just walks off stage. Really? It's utterly brilliant.
So one of the tech guys
you don't know where it goes. In fact, one of the tech guys that was there, he's like, I still don't know where the guitar went. I'll show it to you after the show. It's just absolutely brilliant.
Wonderful. We take advantage of David being here, the question, and I've said this often on the PTI show, and I don't even say it enough. From the moment LeBron James walked into the NBA, he has been the most significant player in the NBA.
That there is no question.
I believe that
more than Michael Jordan.
No, since he walked into the
NBA. Okay. I believe that history will judge him as the Curt Flood of basketball.
Curt Flood. Okay.
I believe that what he did in going to Miami changed the absolute course of the NBA, led to Kevin Durant doing what he did, led to him going back to... I believe LeBron James is an important historical figure, and I don't think we see it yet, and I think you're going to have to see it as time goes on. So my question is always the same, the state of LeBron. Where are we with him and Cleveland? And I didn't think that Kyrie Irving trade was going to happen. So
why didn't you think it was going to happen?
Because if I ran Cleveland, I would have said, you know, we have you under contract, and you can sit here for one more year.
I wouldn't have done that.
So go ahead.
You don't want that.
What's the state of LeBron?
The state is he's, you know, it, look, they made the trade. They thought it was a very good trade for them, by the way. And, you know, whether Isaiah Thomas is ready for the start of the season or not does not matter at all. Because it doesn't.
You don't play the playoffs in the start of the season.
Exactly.
Don't.
As we have seen the last few years with Cleveland, nothing matters with Cleveland until they get to the playoffs, and then they turn it on, and then they're better than everybody in the East. And so, as long as LeBron's still there, they're still better than everybody in the East. So, nothing has changed. Now the gap has shrunk. I give you that, but he's still the best guy.
He goes to the finals every year.
Exactly.
Okay, Steph Curry and Kevin, they don't go to the finals every year.
Not every year.
Not LeBron's is seven straight.
Seven straight years.
Has anybody ever done that? I guess Bill Russell has. I'm not sure. He may have been interrupted by Will Chamberlain one year.
Well, the one year they lost, well, he won 11 in 13 years. So they lost, was it 57 or 58? One of the early years they didn't make it, but then he ripped off like 9 or 10 in a row.
Yeah.
So probably, yeah.
So LeBron, it is widely assumed, and by widely assumed, I mean by me.
Yes.
That LeBron will play one more year in Cleveland, yeah, and then he will leave.
True.
And then he will leave.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he will go. I assume he will go to either Los Angeles or New York. But I
think it's Los Angeles.
Okay.
It's not going to be New York.
It won't be New York.
No, I don't think
so. So he'll go to Los Angeles. But there's talk all the time, what should Cleveland do to try to make him stay? In other words, should Cleveland trade this number one overall pick that they may get? What should Cleveland do? Or do you? Because I believe if you have a chance to win, you should try to win. Because when he leaves, you're going into the ooze.
Well, you are and you aren't. But, I mean, again, they're not moving to the West. So Cleveland's still going to be in the Eastern Conference. So let's, for the sake of argument, if you re-sign Isaiah Thomas, and they may decide they don't want to if he asks for too much money. But if they did, and you had Isaiah Thomas, and you had Kevin Love, and you had Tristan Thompson, and you have what may be the number one pick in the draft next year, I'm pretty sure that team would still make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So it's not like they're going to go to 10 wins after LeBron leaves.
Now, so you think the overall number one is worth something?
Yes.
But would you agree that in recent years, as often as not, the overall number four is worth as much as the overall
number?
That's fair.
But what I'm saying is that this draft coming up next year is going to be a pretty good one. And so I think
they say that every year. It's high school kids.
Well,
and
it's one and done.
Yeah.
It's one and done. Yeah. And so you don't know what you're getting. You have to draft the right guy.
Yes. That's right.
You have to do that. But I would not trade it because the opportunity to get a transitional player, somebody that can take you somewhere, you don't get that chance very often when you're a team like Cleveland.
So if you don't trade it,
it
would be viewed as not doing everything you could to win this year.
Well, I suppose you could look at from LeBron's perspective, you could look at it that way, but I wouldn't do it if I were Cleveland. I'd keep the pick. Absolutely. If LeBron's not going to tell you what he's doing after next year, why would I operate under the assumption he's coming back? I have to operate under the assumption he's not coming back.
I think you have to do that.
Yeah, of course you do.
Would you trade LeBron?
No.
Under no circumstances right now, would you? So you'd say, we're going to the finals again no matter what, because he's that good.
Yes. Until somebody beats him four times, why wouldn't you operate under that assumption? I would, and if he leaves, you know what I would do? I'd shake his hand and say, thank you very much for the title. Thank you for the title.
Yeah, you came back, which made us very happy.
Yeah,
and you delivered.
And you won the championship we've all been waiting 65 years
for.
Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. The notion that somehow he's betraying them is crazy. The first time, okay.
Yeah.
Not this time.
No, not now. He's
No, he's delivered.
By the way, you were talking about consecutive appearances in the finals.
Yeah.
LeBron is actually behind Frank Ramsey.
Oh, well, it's great. Celtics.
Okay. Tommy Heinsohn, Sam
all
Jones,
Celtics.
Nine.
No, not Celtics.
And then Russell, 10. The last two is player coach.
Okay.
So all Celtics. Yeah.
Okay, and not since then. Not
right.
No.
No, not since the middle 60s.
No.
The Houston Rockets sold for $2.2 billion.
Yes,
and for people need to hear these two things I'm going to say. One is that the person who bought them, whose name is Tillman Fertitta.
That's correct.
Tillman Fertitta bid on the Rockets in 1993, 24 years ago. He bid $81 million.
Lost.
He lost to Les Alexander, who bid $85 million.
Uh-huh.
That means to get them now, he spent this much more than he was willing to spend the last time. $2 billion $119 million more to get them.
Wow.
$2,119,000,000 more to buy the Rockets. This, I'm sorry. I think this is insane. Mm-hmm. Many people don't. Mm-hmm. I think this is insane. And more insane is this, what I was told yesterday. When Steve Ballmer, who is clinically insane, when Steve Ballmer spent $2 billion on the Clippers, that was 6% of his net worth.
Yes, I've seen this number, yes.
Tillman Fertitta has just spent 71% of his net worth. I'm not a financial guy. No financial guy would tell you that's smart.
So you go to a restaurant with that?
That's correct.
He owns a bunch of restaurants.
He owns all of them. Landry's, he owns, it's right. him. So is it
he owns Mastro's, he owns Morton's,
all of that.
He owns the Golden Nugget.
McCormick and Schmick's.
He owns them all.
It's all under him.
He's got meals.
I don't know if the 70, I mean, I'm not, I saw that number too. I don't know enough about finance to be able to tell you if that number is accurate.
Would you do it? Let's just say this. Let's say all you had in your life, let's get a reasonable number here. Mm-hmm. You had $100,000.
Right.
Would you lay $71,000 down on anything?
Probably not. On a house, yes.
It's the difference when you get to billions. And that's, it's a quantity I don't really understand. But when you get to billions, 30% is still such a huge amount of money that he's got plenty for the rest of his life.
Right. So if you're saying he's only got $800 million left to live on, I think he'll muddle through somehow.
He's going to be okay.
What are people in the – is it worth it?
Well, it's – I mean, worth is always a relative term with anything, right? But it's not – it's an over – what I was – what I've heard the last day or so, it's an overpay, but it's not a substantial overpay. It's an overpay to get the deal done. Right, so it's like Ballmer probably didn't have to spend $2 billion. He probably could have gotten for $1.8 billion, but then he would have had to negotiate for another 6 months, a year. And he said, "What number would get this done right now?" And they gave him a number, and he wrote the check. And that's what this guy did. He just said, "What gets this done?" And that was the number, and he wrote the check. And the league loves guys that can write a check. One guy that can write a check—that's what they like.
Other franchises have sold in the interim. For nowhere near this, yes?
Well, no, not nothing like this. I mean, the Hawks...
What makes Houston...
The Hawks sold for $800 million. Well, first of all...
Is it the China connection with Yao Ming still? Wilbon talks about that all the time. I don't understand
it's
that.
It's there, but that's not what's driving this. No. Look, Houston, major metropolitan city. Number five, I think, in the country.
Underwater at the moment.
No, maybe not... That's, for a while.
That is, to me, it's interesting that he would, at this point, in this time, when they're going to be spending the next several years rebuilding that city, for him to say, I'll do it. But he's a Houston guy.
He is.
Booster for the University of Houston Athletic Department. Has had courtside seats at the Rockets games for a while. Was a minority investor in the Texans when they first got back and started in the NFL. So he's a sports guy. He's a Houston guy. He's a TV guy, so I'm sure he's looking at this as a way to
get
the brand going.
Here's the
bit.
Question I have, and we don't know the answer to this. At the moment, one of the reasons the NBA is hot is because a variety of networks, one that pays me and one that pays you, are bidding against each other here and there and raising the price to get television rights.
Yeah.
What if one of them or both of them says, you know what, it's not worth this anymore? You know what we're going to go into? We're going to televise video game guys.
Yeah, well.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Is there a bubble here?
Tony, every time I say they couldn't possibly spend more the next time, they do.
They do.
Every time.
In every sport.
For 20, 25 years, everyone's been complaining about the cost of sports programming.
Yeah.
And they just keep doing it.
Yeah. Every time the Olympics come, I say they can't possibly spend more money on the Olympics, can they? And they do. And they justify it.
Yeah.
They do. It's so much money.
Yeah.
It's just so much money.
Good thing you got that coupon, the shoes.
There you go.
For the shoes. It's got to be the shoes, money. We'll take a break. We'll come back with a song, maybe. Do we have a song?
Yes, we have a song about the Purple Line.
About the Purple Line. Great. And maybe some email as well.
Yes.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Some folks want to build a train, it's driving me insane, it's called the Purple Line.
This is great.
Take a trip to Bethesda, while the government done. But stay off my golf course, I'm line. We're gonna stop that purple line. Don't cut the logs out there. There's a frog out there called the amphipod. They say it's in danger, so let's respect it by God. Call for another impact study so we can waste more time. We're gonna stop that purple line.
This is great. This is great. And it is written and sung by Mike O'Connell, Binghamton University Bearcat Class of 2003.
Yes, sir.
Mike O'Connell, Sterling, Virginia, to the great Billy Joel song, New York State of Mind.
Excellent.
That's fabulous. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Howard Fineman of the HuffPost for coming on to the show today. I'd also like to thank our sponsors today, SeatGeek, MeUndies, and ZipRecruiter. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. Especially if you have an Apple Watch and you're stealing signs. Spotify and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I have in front of me a picture of Tim Kirchin and Joe Magnu from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. This is a PNC Park. Apparently Joe handed Tim, nobody can see this except on News Channel 8, a big avocado. So we're happy with that. From Alex Lau in New York City, dear Mr. Tony. You called yesterday the beginning of the fiscal year for the show. I'm no doctor or graduate of the Wharton School or Quaker Nation like my twin brother Chris, but I was under the impression you actually had to be making money as opposed to hemorrhaging it profusely for it to be considered a fiscal year. Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. Tony, you were a little unclear. Are you selling Purple Line t-shirts?
Soon.
Loyal Little Sean Thompson from Oak Park, Illinois. I am sorry to hear about your burgled tomatoes. When you're going door to door interrogating your neighbors Jack Bauer style, keep an eye out for that jar of homemade salsa that went missing. Find that and you'll find the tomato thief.
Exactly.
Who are you working for? Remember when Jack Bauer used to shoot people in the thigh?
Oh, yeah.
Shoot
who do you work for?
You got answers.
It's only 24 hours. You don't get no time.
The first 2 or 3 years of that show were great.
You know what? I don't think you have to go door to door to the neighbors with your gun. I think just fire off the gun a few times.
Just a couple rounds.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying your neighbors like on my street. They could be people with access to the alley who walk dogs in the alley or stuff like that. Mike from Burke, Virginia, who hates me, writes, Mr. Tony.
Doesn't he hate everybody on the show?
He hates Eliza Moore.
Yeah, enjoyed your assault on the supporters of the Purple Line yesterday, in which you opined, one, nobody would ride it. That is, you won't ride it.
Well,
and two, the supporters are arrogant. As you view the supporters as arrogant, shouldn't you complete the trifecta and call them orange and bald? From Adam Fitzwater in Beijing, I have 8 spectacular Campari tomatoes grown from seed for sale to the highest bidder. Let me know if you're interested. Please don't read my name on the air as I can't reveal how I acquired these tomatoes. From Cheeve, he signs himself Andrew Cheever, Cheeve in Somerville. Do you know where Somerville, Massachusetts is?
No, I'm not familiar with it, actually.
Okay.
Just above Cambridge.
Maybe lacing the next batch of Campari tomatoes with laxatives will deter your neighbors from stealing them. From Jason Thompson in Lexington, South Carolina. Isn't it obvious, Tony, who stole your tomatoes? Your son, Michael. Think about it for a minute. He certainly had access to the little house, and he wanted revenge for the public humiliation you beseeched on him in regards to how he was supposed to help you take care of the plants.
That's what beseeched means, but that's okay.
Yeah, and not bequeathed either.
No, it's bequeathed.
You know, you be what on him? Not betrothed.
No, besieged. Were they looking for besieged instead of
maybe
besieged
on him? I don't know. Honestly, who could blame him? They're the fruits of his labor. Did you steal my tomato?
I have an alibi. One Bootsy Kornheiser. Bootsy, 24 inches tall, is at the height of these missing tomatoes.
Oh. Oh.
Bootsy can't stand.
He can stand with my help.
At least that's what he wants
really?
To think.
That's what you think.
So he's doing
I haven't seen him in so long. He's standing?
He's not standing. I hold him up by his arm.
You stake him up like a
swing. And he sort of bounces on my legs.
So he's in the 95th percentile?
95th percentile, yeah.
Cruising.
Not where's his weight, 95th as well?
Weight is in the 50 to 75 percentile.
So we're hoping for large.
He's trending large.
And we're hoping for that because, and especially lefty, because you stay in the majors.
Sure.
Absolutely. Pitch to your 80.
Yeah.
Jesse Orozco was 75 when he was last pitching, I believe. You pitch forever if you're lefty.
Yeah. I don't think it's bad. Michael Gorwitz in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Someone tell the Oracle if he wants to know what the 1% of show is going to sound like, he only needs to listen to Wilbon's appearance on Tuesday's show. Today in the A Block, the guys discuss what cities are in season. Tony, I wouldn't be caught dead in Rehoboth before May. Wilbon, Scottsdale in July, forget about it. Coming up after the break, over under turning 67 when retiring to Miami Beach. It is true that Wilbon's grasp on reality, as mine, is just, we are not, you know, we're no longer functional in the daily stream of American life.
You know.
I concede this. I understand it. You're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always. Do wear white.
He's freaking genius!
Thank you for coming, who's ever here.
Highway track.